Well, good morning.
Good morning.
If you care to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, we bow before you in awe and wonder at your majesty, your holiness, your justice, your mercy, your grace, your love, and your pity, compassion towards sinners. Father, we say with the songwriter, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned unclean. Father, how we thank you for your mercy and your grace. And Father, I beg of you this morning that you would show us your glory, that you would reveal to us this morning in a powerful, clear way your glory in the redemption of your people through the sacrifice of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, teach us anew, apply it to our hearts, that Christ is all. These are words that we say. Father, cause us to believe it, that Christ is all. And to rest in him. Well, we pray for ourselves, Father. We pray for our children's classes. We pray for those who meet all around the world this morning. Father, bless your word where it's preached. Get glory to your name in our day, we pray. For it's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his glory and his name's sake, we pray. Amen. Now, the title of our lesson this morning is a question. Are there rewards in heaven? Now, I'll tell you the answer to that, and then we'll look and see if it's so from Scripture. The answer to that question, are there rewards in heaven? The answer is yes. There is a reward, not plural. I should say no to rewards, plural. There is a reward, singular. And the reward in heaven is a reward of grace. Never of works, it's a reward of grace. The reward in heaven will be exactly the same for every believer. Every believer will all be exactly the same. They'll be made just like Christ. That's the reward. Being made just like him. Being able to worship him face to face. No more through a glass darkly like we do now, but face to face. No one in glory is going to have a bigger mansion than somebody else. Nobody in glory is going to have more crowns than somebody else. All, and I mean all of the glory, both here and there. All of it belongs to Christ, and none of the glory is ours because we've been better than some of our brethren. Now that's so. I want you to take my word for it. Let's look at the Scriptures and see if that's what the Scripture teaches. First, I'll tell you a story from the Old Testament. David gave us a picture of this. There are no rewards in heaven. Every believer is always exactly equal. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David and his men had been out, and while they were gone, they had been their headquarters were in a town called Ziklag. And while they were gone, the Amalekites came, and they spoiled Ziklag. They took the wives and the children of David and his men. They took everything in the city, and what was left, they burned. And David and his men got back. You can imagine how horrified that they were. And David asked the Lord, "Shall I pursue after them?" And the Lord said, "You pursue." And David took his men and went after the Amalekites. And when he got near them, David left some of the men with the stuff. All the stuff that they were. He left some of them with the stuff. And he took some of the men with him to battle. And David's army destroyed the Amalekites. And they took everything back. Everything that belonged to them, whatever else, spoiled the Amalekites, you know, had taken from somebody else. David and his army took it all. Not one wife, not one child was missing. And David got back to those men there that had stayed with the stuff. And the men that went to battle thought, we'll give these men their families, but none of the spoil. We went to the battle. We're taking the spoil, all the stuff that's worth any financial, you know, gain. And David said, no, sir. The spoil is divided equally. Those that went to the battle get the same as those that stayed by the stuff. Now, that's a picture that we're taught. There are no rewards in heaven. And that's what our Lord is teaching us in this parable, Matthew chapter 20, this morning. And the parable that the Lord gives is answer to a question that Peter asked back in chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter's saying, I want a reward for thee. We follow thee. What reward do we get for this? And in answer to that question, the Lord gives this parable. In the parable, the Lord teaches us what the kingdom of heaven is like. How do you get into the kingdom of heaven? What is it like to live in the kingdom of heaven? In the parable, the householder is a picture of our Lord. The vineyard's a picture of his kingdom, of heaven. And the laborers are believers. Now, we're talking about believers here. There's not a difference between believers and unbelievers. We're talking about God's sheep here. The laborers are all God's people. Now, let's look at verse 1, Matthew chapter 20. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now the householder goes out and he hires laborers. He's got a lot of work need to be done in his vineyard, and he hires them. He went out at 6 a.m. He hired these men to start working at 6 a.m. At that time, they worked from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., 12 hours. And he hired them for a penny a day. Now that was a good wage for a working man at that time. It was a right, fair wage. He agreed he's going to pay them that wage. Verse 3. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle. And saith unto them, Why stand ye here idle all the day? Or stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that ye shall receive. Now through the day, the householder must have seen he had a lot more work to be done in his vineyard than those laborers could get done. So he went out at 9 a.m. He went out at noon. He went out at 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Remember, they quit at 6. He even went out at 5 p.m. and hired more workers. He had so much work to get done. And he told them all, you go work. And whatever's right, that's what I'll give you. They said, all right. They went to work. Now the end of the day has come. It's time for the workers to collect their wages. Verse 8. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Verse 11. And when they had received, or verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have robbed but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden of the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Dost thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because mine is good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now the householder, he didn't cheat those workers that worked all day, did he? He gave them exactly what he promised to give them. He gave them exactly what they earned. They were not cheated at all. The householder was generous. He was generous with those workers just worked 1 hour, wasn't he? He was generous. And he was also fair. He was fair to those first ones that worked 12 hours. He gave them exactly what they earned, what he promised to give them. Now that's the parable. Now let's look at the gospel in the parable. First thing I want us to see is this, the character of our Lord. Our Lord is good. He's good. The householder here is a picture of our Lord, who went out and sought workers to work in his vineyard. He got there, you know, probably 5:30 in the morning. He found a bunch of guys doing nothing. They're standing there around the street corner just doing nothing. And he hired them to go work in his vineyard. They never would have amounted to anything, just standing there in the corner. But he hired them to go work. Our Lord is good. Our Lord is good in the election of his people. Now, he's sovereign, isn't he? He chooses whom he will. He passes by whom he will. But our Lord sure is good when he chooses to save any sinner. Just stand there on the street corner doing nothing. Never would amount to anything. The only thing we'd ever be good for is to fuel the fires of hell. But God chose a people to save and said, come, work in my vineyard. I'll put away your sin. Come work in my vineyard. That's the goodness of our God. Our God is good. He's good. And be good for us to remember this. He's good in everything that he does. Everything. Even when it hurts my flesh, our God's good. He's good. Second, our Lord is gracious, generous. That householder was generous to pay those workers that just worked 1 hour the same as he paid those workers that worked all 12 hours. He was very generous. And he wasn't unfair to that first group, was he? No, he was just to those first. He gave them exactly what he promised to give them. Our Lord is generous. He's generous in his mercy and his grace. He always gives mercy and grace freely. And he gives it in abundance. He doesn't give you just a little bit freely. He gives it to you in abundance. He gives mercy to his people. And then he keeps giving them. He keeps giving them mercy. He keeps giving them grace. He keeps giving and keeps giving and keeps giving. He never runs out of fresh supplies of mercy and grace for his people. His mercies, they're new every morning, aren't they? They're always new. They're always free. He never holds anything back from his people because he's generous to his people. God's elect could never have earned the least of God's favor. The least. The only thing we could earn from him is damnation. Yet our God is generous in giving mercy and keep giving mercy and keep giving grace and keep giving mercy and keep giving grace. Because he's generous. Every person in this room can say with David, my cup runneth over. Doesn't it? Third, our Lord is always just. The householder was just to pay all of his workers. He gave them exactly what he promised to give them. And some of them complained about it, but when they did, the householder said, my eye's just. I gave you what's right. I didn't do anything unfair. He gave them exactly what he promised. Exactly what they earned. And you know, those first workers, they thought, boy, a penny a day, that's a good wage. I'll take that. He didn't hurt them any in giving those last workers the same amount. He didn't hurt them at all. He didn't take from them to give these other fellows. He was fair. He was fair. His generosity did not make him unjust. That's our God. Our God is always just. Always. In judgment, he'll give every human being exactly what they deserve. No more, no less. Exactly. He'll damn people, and he'll do it in justice because that's what their works deserve. They wanted to come to him on legal footing. They insisted on trusting in their own works and coming before God in their own works, and he let them. And he'll be just in damning them. But now, we're not talking about that this morning. I mean, that's true. That's not what this parable is teaching. We're talking here about saved people. We're talking here about God's elect. God's servants, who he has called, who he's saved, who he's put to work in his vineyard. And in judgment, the Lord will be strictly just with every one of them. Strictly. He'll give them exactly what he promised. Which, by the way, is everything. He'll give them exactly what Christ earned for them. And their works are not going to add to that in any way whatsoever. I'll get to more of that in a minute. But he'll give them what Christ earned for them. Not Christ, what Christ earned plus what I earned, what Christ earned for his people. And Lord's generosity to his people never violates his justice. Never violates his justice. Because he's given them what Christ earned in justice for them. All right, that's the character of our Lord. Number two, I want us to see this. Look at Romans chapter 11. Salvation is by grace. The householder went out and chose some workers to go to work in his vineyard. The Lord chose some people out of Adam's fallen race to save. And the Lord's choice of a people is an election. It's a choice. God made a choice. He elected a people. And it's an election of grace. It's not an election of works because he saw some people were better than other people. He didn't choose some people because he saw that they would believe on him and others wouldn't. If that was the case, That would be God taking credit for what you do already anyway. That's not God. God's election is an election of grace. Look here at Romans 11, verse 5. Even so then, at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. It's an undeserved, it's an election of grace. And if by grace, then it's no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, here's what those two verses are telling us. God's gracious to choose anybody. God's gracious to choose anybody to save. And their salvation is all of grace. All. It's all grace or it's all works, and the two can't be mixed. If there are any works at all associated with this thing of salvation, then salvation is all of works. But if it's all of grace, then it's all of grace, and that means you and me don't contribute anything to it. It's all of grace. And I would say everybody here would call yourself a sovereign gracer, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that? Whew, I hope we get this. I hope God will apply it to our hearts, that we'll remember it, that we'll believe it, that we'll live like it. Salvation is by grace. It's by grace. And our works do not make us ever more acceptable to God. Now, we ought to work hard in His vineyard. We ought to work hard. Whatever it is God's given, put to your hand to do today, brother, do it. I mean, do it with everything you've got. But don't ever expect that to make you more accepted than one of your brethren. Don't ever expect it. Our acceptance with God is where? It's in Christ. Not by our works, in Christ. And you know this. You know I'm not excusing our sin, our failure, our lack of faith in any way. But that's what we live. Unfortunately, that's what we live. Well, you take comfort. Salvation is by grace. That means that our sin and our failure doesn't make us less saved. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace. Our works don't enter into the equation whatsoever, except for this. Our works make it where we need God to save us. That's the only way our works enter into this thing. Salvation is by grace. And since salvation is by God's grace, every believer is the same. Every believer is equal. We can't make ourselves better by our works. And salvation is by generous grace. Generous. I mean, grace by its very definition is generous. It's undeserved. Wasn't it generous to give those workers the same pay for 1 hour as those workers that worked for 12? Well, that's a picture of believers being equal. We're equal in Christ. Every believer has the exact same righteousness. One's not more righteous than the other, because we all have the righteousness of Christ, and we can't add to His to make it any better. Every believer is all loved equally. Equally. We can't be loved one more than another because we're loved in Christ. We're all accepted in Christ. One believer can't be more accepted than the other one, because how are we accepted? In the Beloved. In the Beloved. In who He is and what He's done, not what we've done. And isn't it pretty selfish? Isn't it pretty selfish to want to be more loved than one of your brethren? Isn't it pretty selfish to want to be more accepted than one of your brethren? That's contrary to grace. That's contrary to love, isn't it? No, we don't even want to be equal in Christ. That's the glorious thing of salvation by grace. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves better than we are in Christ. And there's nothing we can do to ruin it. Nothing we can do to ruin it. Every believer is equal in Christ. How long we've served, how long we've served the Lord, or what in what capacity that we've served the Lord makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. None. The one that preaches this morning and the one that cleaned the building, God sees that service as the same. They're equal. Equal, because Christ is the one that made the difference. Who makes the difference between the saved and the lost? It's all Christ, isn't it? It's all of the Lord. He's made all of his people to be equally saved and equally righteous. What saith the scripture? We're holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. How and where? Huh? Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in him. In him. So every believer has the exact same exceeding great reward, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's generosity to sinners, that he give them his son, that he put them in his son. Salvation is by grace. All right, now thirdly, I want to point out some fallacies of this thought that there could be rewards in heaven. First, if we think that we can earn rewards in heaven, then you know what we're saying? I'm saying I can do something to make God a debtor to me, that he's going to give me this reward. That ought to end the conversation. I can't think of anything more abhorrent than that, is to think I could do something to make God a debtor to me. Nothing could be more contrary to grace, salvation by pure grace alone, and nothing could be more contrary to my deadness and my need of Christ. No, I'm the debtor. I'm the debtor. And if we think we can earn rewards in heaven, somehow we're saying that the flesh in glory is going to be able to boast about what I did back here on earth. And I can promise you this, in glory, we're not going to want anybody to mention what we did back here. Now, we want all that forgotten. I want to put all under the blood of Christ. And the only thing I want is to be seen in Christ. Let's talk about what he did. Let's not talk about what I did. Scripture tells us to not boast in our flesh now. What makes us think we're going to do it there? No. Paul said this. He said, if you think you got whereof to trust in the flesh, I'm more. And he's not whistling Dixie. Whatever it is we think we got, it makes us righteous, that makes us commendable to God, Saul of Tarsus would beat us at it. You don't want to enter a competition with that guy. And you know what he said about himself? And all his works, and all his righteousness, and all his perfect, outward perfectness. You know what he said? I count it but horse manure. That's what I count it. Horse manure. Paul told the church at Rome, where's boasting then? Where's boasting then? It's excluded. It's forbidden. It can't be. Why? By what law? Of works? No. By the law of faith. By the law of faith and trust in Christ, not my works. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is going to save his people by grace in such a way that the only thing they can boast in is his son. We're not going to boast in ourselves. We're not going to get to glory and somehow be able to boast about how I made God a debtor to give me more crowns than you. That's absurd. Absurd. Second, look at Luke chapter 17. If we think that we can earn some rewards in heaven, we've forgotten what God's word says about us as the servants of our Lord. Luke 17, verse 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to me? It will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, I think not. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all these things which are commanded you, this is what you say. We're unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do. Now, I told you earlier, whatever it is God put to your hand today to do, do it. I mean, do it with all you got. And at the end of the day, say, I'm an unprofitable servant. I just did what God gave me to do. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, not out of a mercenary, you know, attitude, I'm trying to gain something from God. That's the way a servant works, not a son. I beseech you by the mercies of God, because God's been so merciful to you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable. It's just reasonable to serve God in whatever capacity he's given you. Just whatever God's given you to do, it's just reasonable that we do it. It's just reasonable. Now, an unprofitable servant is not looking for rewards. You know what an unprofitable servant's looking for? Grace. Grace. I've just done what was my reasonable service, and I didn't do a very good job of that. I'm depending on God's grace today, the same as when he first called me. That's what an unprofitable servant says. Thirdly, if we think we can earn some rewards in heaven, we've forgotten something very important. Whatever gifts, whatever talents that we have to use in the service of God's kingdom, God gave them to us. Wouldn't have them if God didn't give it to us, would he? Well, then God gets the credit, not us. We're not going to get a reward for that. Everything we have, God gave us. Then what do you boast about? What do you boast about what God gave you like you didn't receive it? No, we're not. Anything that we've ever been able to do in the service of God that's worked out for his glory and the good of his people, God did it. God did it. Fourthly, if we think that we can earn some rewards in heaven, you know what we're saying? We're saying there's going to be some sadness in heaven. Scripture says there's no sadness, there's no tears, there's no sorrow. But if we're saying there's going to be rewards in heaven, then there's got to be some sadness. Folks who are not as good as me, down here on earth, they haven't been as good as me. They haven't served the Lord as faithful as me. They haven't been as orthodox as me. Oh, they're going to be happy to be in heaven now. I mean, yes, they're going to be happy to be in heaven. But they're going to be sad every time they look at me because they're going to wish they were me. Just absurd, isn't it? I mean, that's just absurd. Oh, you could go on and on and on with that, but you see, there's a fallacy in that when you compare it to the scriptures. And here's the last thing: the blessings of salvation are by grace; they're never by works. They're never a reward of our works. You know, these fellas said, "We've borne the heat of the day, the burden and heat of the day. We want more." God help us to never complain about serving the Lord. They're complaining. That's a legal argument. They're saying it's such a burden to serve the Lord. I want a reward for it. What burden do you reckon the Savior endured to save our sorry souls? Now, what burden you got? Huh? What burden do I have to serve the Lord? None. No, his burden is light and easy. They're complaining, saying that they deserve more, we serve longer. Now, I grant you, it's true that some serve the Lord longer than others. That's absolutely true. Some people are called when they're very young. Timothy called when he was very young. Some are. Some do bear the heat of the day. The martyrs, brother, they bore the heat of the day. We got nothing to talk about the heat of the day compared to them, do we? Some did bear the heat of the day more. But to say that if I bore in the heat of the day, I serve longer than someone else, you may as well say, well, it's better for me to sow my wild oats, to live in sin, and just do that until right before I die, and then trust on Christ and believe on Christ and leave this world and go to glory and just enjoy the pleasures of sin for as long as I can. And then I'll make the sacrifice to give up the pleasures of sin to trust Christ. That's awful. That's just awful. Somebody that says that, they don't know Christ. I'm thankful that the Lord does save people at the 11th hour. I'm thankful. The thief on the cross. Aren't you thankful the Lord saved him? Aren't you thankful? The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sin away. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. It gives me hope. It gives me hope. But I tell you what, it's a greater blessing if the Lord saves you young and you serve the Lord longer. It really is. It's better to live a life of faith in Christ longer. It's better. Isn't it better to live a life serving the Lord longer than you serve the pleasures of sin for a season? Isn't that better? Oh, it's better. And I tell you, it's just fine with me that the last shall be first. The Lord blessing others. The Lord blessing that 11th hour believer, the one he calls just on his deathbed. The Lord blessing him. The same as he blesses me, doesn't take any of God's blessings away from me. You see that? The Lord is so rich in mercy. Him giving mercy to somebody else doesn't take it away from me. There are plenty to go around. And in that day, in glory, we'll all have an equal thrill to be made just like Christ. I don't want or need any more than that, do you? Hope God makes it that way. All right, the Lord bless you.